Well, we extend a warm welcome to those who are visiting us this morning for this Christmas service, Christmas Day, as we remember Christ coming into this world as a babe. Let's now stand together as we begin our service with the call to worship. Hear God's word from Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 to 5. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. In response to God's word, let us come before God now in silent prayer as we seek his blessing upon us. Let's pray. Congregation, with the psalmist, we confess this morning that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Receive now God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. We'll sing now for our opening song, hymn 319, O Come All You Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. Our first scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 1. I encourage you to have that open before you. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. That's found on page 1111 and to the next page of the Pew Bible. Hear now God's word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That ends the reading of God's holy word. We'll sing now from number 323, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Let us come to our God in prayer. O Lord, our saving God, we give you thanks today for the Lord Jesus Christ, who being very God, did not hold on to that position, but took on the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. And being thus found, he humbled himself to a life of lowly servitude, living beside those who were his creatures, sharing in our sufferings, and was ultimately obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But his story didn't end on the tree or in the grave. Indeed, you have exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. And we hope and expect and know that one day every knee in all creation shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Lord, bless your word to us now and your servant as he brings your word. Make this prayer, we do make this prayer in the name of our complete Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please turn again in your Bibles, this time to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 20. That's found on page 1179 to 80. 1179 to 80 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 2, beginning our reading at verse 1. Hear now God's word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And that ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us sing now again from 321. 321, Infant Holy, infant lowly. And please stand if you are able. Well, our text for this morning is Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 20. Our scripture reading from before, I encourage you to have that open before you. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is going to be your emphasis today as you gather together as family with children, parents, or grandchildren? Christmas means different things to different people. We see this, for example, with some of the more modern holiday movies and Christmas specials, like Christmas with the Cranks, which, according to what I've read, depicts how depressing Christian get-togethers are, giving the message that it's better to skip the whole celebration altogether because nothing ever goes right anyway. The problem today is not just whether Christmas has become secularized from a Christian perspective. That's taken place a long time ago. Now it seems that secularized Christmas is losing its genuine jolliness and joy. That's because those who believe that the spirit of Christmas is all about the love of family have a hard time keeping any holiday cheer in a society of sinful families, rebellious teenagers, and self-absorbed parents. Currently, the concern is over holiday stress or surviving Christmas. If a loved relative doesn't visit us, or if a family member says something insensitive at the dinner table, it will ruin the day. And that's why I asked the question earlier, what will be your emphasis today? What will be your focus? You cannot be promised any happiness today if your emphasis is on family gatherings or your desire to make everything perfect. Because we're sinful and cursed by nature. And that's the only thing that will make your Christmas a joyful one is what? It's forgiveness. We need salvation from the curse for sin. We need a specific person, namely the Son of God, to forgive us our sins and to enable us to forgive those who have sinned against us. That is the good tidings that this fallen world needs. And so I turn your attention to Luke 2, where the angels proclaim the good tidings of great joy. This is what will give you great joy and blessing. The announcement of the Savior is the best news possible. And so I call you to hear God's word with 4 points about the good news of Christmas from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. First, the good news about Christmas is historically true. The good news about Christmas is historically true. That has to be seen today. All the legends about St. Nicholas and reindeer and other Christmas lore have become so interwoven into the real Christmas story so that everything gets lumped together and it gets forgotten that the birth of Christ is accurate and based on history. Children, the scene at the manger in Bethlehem is not a nice little fairy tale. This is not like the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or Cinderella. What we read in the Bible really happened. The people described here are well-known politicians, and these are well-known events. According to verses 1 and 2, historical men lived when Jesus was born. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, as well as Quirinius, the governor of that region, who would be in charge of carrying out the emperor's decrees. This was a time when the grips of foreign power were imposing their will on the Jews. Caesar sent out a decree into the entire world. And yet, when the emperor sent out this order, little did he know that the Lord was using this decree for his own purposes in building his church. Also, this historical census that took place was no doubt a registration where people had to give their name, address, occupation, income, etc., mainly for the reason of taxation. This was not a pleasant time at all. But did you ever think of how amazing it is that God ordained beforehand that Jesus would be born this way in Bethlehem? Have you ever considered that he ordained all things to come to pass to fulfill his word, to bring two insignificant people into the town of Bethlehem to accomplish these purposes? The Lord was in complete control of this very bleak time in history. You might think that you are pretty insignificant in this big world where there are huge political forces at work, big governments and big corporations. But all history is being guided by the Lord, not for the big names like Caesar Augustus and others, but for the sake of God's small people, the church. And so all the kings and premiers and prime ministers and presidents of this world are following the sovereign decree of the Lord. What took place is historically true because God is the ruler of history. And that is seen further in verses 4 to 7. Joseph and Mary never thought of refusing to obey the emperor's decree, but went out from Nazareth to Bethlehem. In their obedience to this decree, they were doing God's will in sending his son. Because even the Roman occupation could not forestall this gift coming into the world. The wheels of salvation history were being put into motion. Note in verse 4 that Joseph was of the house of David. This was God's promise to David that his son would be born to him. Verse 5 says that he came with Mary to be registered with her. out of obedience to the Lord, when the angel came to him, he remained betrothed to her. And they together went to the place that God had ordained for his son to be born. God was leading all these events for our blessing, for our sakes, that we might be here today considering these things. But this was not an easy time. After a long journey, your hope is that once you arrive at your destination, you'll be able to have the comforts of home. Certainly the Lord would have made sure that there was an available place for his son. But children, you know that in Bethlehem there was no room for them in the inn. Mary gave birth to baby Jesus and had to put him into a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals, a place where animals ate their food. God was ruling the world, but his son coming into this world was not an easy coming. The situation was very tragic. And life is like that sometimes, congregation. Things are dark and bleak. Life isn't easy. But let's not think that the hand of God is shortened, because God is ruling history. The good news of Christmas is that Christ was born to poverty. For your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. God rules all things, even motel capacities, for the sake of his children. Darkness is turned to light. Out of the tragedy of the situation, God humbled himself and became a servant. And so when all things seem to be at the point of complete failure and disaster is in our lives, let's remember that God is in control. Just like the crucifixion seemed like the end of all things, God ordained the cross in order that we could have forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and eternal life. If that's the case, then he will bring blessing, even in those dark times that he has ordained. The good news of Christmas is historically true because God is in control of history. Well, secondly, the good news about Christmas is based upon Jesus' unique person. The good news of Christmas is based upon the unique person of Jesus. Right now, a lot of people are festive. There's laughter and joking in one way or another. There are Christmas parties and other trimmings. But all these things don't add up to the glad tidings of great joy which the angels had announced to the shepherds, as we see in verses 10 to 12. The first Christmas was not necessarily a happy time. Just think, children, when your family is expecting a baby, before that baby is born, your mom wouldn't go into your cold, dusty shed to pull out a dirty box to put your baby into. She has a bassinet or a crib with nice blankets and a warm place when the baby comes. That was not the case for Jesus. He was away in the manger, no crib for his bed. And maybe that when you heard that song for the very first time, children, it made you cry. Because it is sad. And yet even though the first Christmas celebration was not a party like it can be sometimes today, there was joy. The good news of Christmas is all about the great joy that we can have even in the midst of difficult times. Joy is not erased when we remember the good news. And what is that, congregation? What is the good news? Well, it's because of who Jesus is. That's what the angel announced. Verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Consider who that is. He is truly man. He was born. That sounds pretty human, doesn't it? He was born in the city of David. That was promised long ago to Israel, and now it had come to pass. Verse 12 says, notice the sign. The sign was that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, there would have been a whole bunch of other children, infants, wrapped in swaddling cloths, but there was no other child at that time who was laid in a feeding trough. There was no halo around his head. There wasn't any special royal privileges for this baby. It was not the happiest of situations. But the joy to all people, congregation, is that Jesus was born. He is truly human. Identified already by his suffering. And notice also that he is truly divine. The angel said he is Christ. He's the Messiah. He also is the Lord. These are titles that we're familiar with. They speak of his great power and authority. Christ is both Savior and Lord. He is the expected one. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who would take upon that role spoken of in the Old Testament to be the Savior of the Jews. Any other Christmas cheer or Christmas message that veers away from the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, or that Jesus saves from sin, it's not the good tidings of great joy. What will bring you joy this Christmas? What will help you if there is an empty chair at the dinner table? Or if there's a certain amount of pain or unrest right now? The joy of Christmas is for you. There is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Well, thirdly, the good news about Christmas is for all people and brings peace to those who believe. The good news about Christmas is for all people and it brings peace to those who believe. Just imagine if Luke chapter 2 verse 8 said, "Now there were wealthy kings who were keeping watch over their great hoard of treasures. And behold, the angel of the Lord came to them. Or there were certain Pharisees who were keeping watch over their scrolls at night and their traditions." That's not what we read here about the birth of the Savior. He chose to come to simple shepherds. These were devout men, likely familiar with the prophecy of the Messiah, like Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God chose to bring the good news to them because it is for all people. As the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are well-known words, and we sing them often during this season. But consider that it glorifies God to bring peace to man. God receives the glory first for that. He wants to glorify himself by sending his Son into this messy, sinful world to stubborn, hard-headed, ungrateful, sinful people like us. God gets the glory for that. But then consider who it is who receives peace and goodwill. It's to those who believe. It's to those who trust in the Lord. This is the judgment, Jesus said, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Or the aged Simeon said when he saw the child Jesus, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to as many as believe in his name. So consider, congregation, that it glorifies God that we're saved when we believe. The message to us then is to fear not, not to be afraid, as the shepherds were told. Now, children, what would it be like if you're one of those shepherds sitting there and you saw an angel talking to you, and then all of a sudden there were hundreds of angels praising God? I think you'd be pretty amazed. Your eyes would be wide open, and you may even have felt a little bit scared like these angels did. But the message was, don't be afraid. There is mercy to be found. You can find it in the Lord. Jesus is your comfort and joy. And when you do believe in him, he is your peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The people who enjoy the peace of God that surpasses all understanding are those who bring everything to God in prayer with supplications, letting their requests be made known to the Lord. Peace is something that you can know when you believe in Jesus Christ and when you let your heart rest in him. Well, consider what that message must have meant for the shepherds. They came with haste. Plus, verse 15 says the word there for go is literally go through or go abroad, which implies that they were not exactly next door to Bethlehem. They had to go quite a ways. Their faith was evident and saved them. Their obedience shows their trust in God. And so the good news then is that God takes sovereign delight in those who believe in his Son and seek their peace with him and through him. Well, fourthly, the good news about Christmas requires a response of glorifying God. The good news about Christmas requires a response of glorifying God. Verse 20 says that the shepherds returned to their place and glorified and praised God. How do they glorify God exactly? Well, in this case, we see it first in that they made known to everyone what they had seen. Note verse 17. They did this widely. The child Jesus meant something to them. And that's a lesson that needs to be learned over and over again. If it is the good news for all people, then it is the good news for all people. Have you done that? Have you tried to spread the good tidings to others around us during this Christmas time? You can just imagine how some might have responded to the shepherds. You saw a bunch of angels in the sky? And there is this child that was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and you say he's the Messiah? They're amazed by it. They marveled, meaning that they were amazed. And it's fine to be amazed, but it should lead to something better. Like Mary, who pondered these things in her heart. Verse 19 says, but even if it was amazing to people's ears, that didn't stop the shepherds. If we glorify God for what he has done for us, we also have to be willing to speak of our joy to others. This glorifying involves joy. They rejoiced. Verse 20 says, Jesus gives us that joy. Joyless faith in Jesus is a contradiction. It's a contradiction. The Apostle Paul summarized the goal of his whole ministry like this, for the advancement and joy of your faith. He told both the Philippians and the Thessalonians, rejoice always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Always? Yes. Not without tears of grief or pain, but still we're to always be joyful. Sometimes the tears might flow for an hour, or a day, or a week, or a year, or longer. But as we may mourn, we're always to be hoping. And though it's hard to describe or to put it into words, there's a kind of joy in God that we can experience and know. The good news of Christmas leads to glorifying God through our taking joy and pleasure in him. Now, for some, this holiday is a real letdown. Because things do go wrong. Or because maybe they didn't get what they were hoping to get. Or perhaps because they already have everything that they ever dreamed of wanting. Any toy, tablets, game centers, brand new entertainment systems, luxury cars, filling their life with every form of worldly amusement. They have it all. But they feel an emptiness in their own hearts. At the center of your heart, there is an emptiness. There is an emptiness. And this season is always a letdown when you don't commemorate the birth of Christ. But for you, it doesn't have to be that way. Christmas dinner is great. Time with family is great. But the best part of this holiday is that there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't fill yourself to the brim with the world. Don't distract yourself from the real issues of life with the distractions of gadgets and entertainment, the vain and empty amusements of life. Put your trust fully and completely in Christ today. Feed your soul on his selfless act of love, coming down into this world and sacrificing himself for your salvation and for your joy. Place your trust in Jesus Christ alone. And rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord today. This good news of his forgiveness of your sin. Amen. Let us come to our God in prayer. Our merciful God in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for the good news of great joy given to all mankind. Help us, Lord, to find our comfort today in what Christ has done for us, that we would again return and find our hope in these familiar but truthful stories that have taken place for our benefit and for our joy. For this is history. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing now for our song of response, number 318. 318, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's come before our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, you've given us the good news of your Son born into this world to replace our fears and phobias and our sin with your great joy. We're thankful that he was born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, and that he rules the world in truth and strength and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. We're thankful for the peace and goodwill which has been extended to all people, to the poorest of poor and the richest of men, that he came to be the Savior of the poor shepherds out in the fields in Bethlehem, as well as the Savior to the men of the East, the Magi, who came with their royal gifts. We're thankful for the way that he lowers the mighty on their thrones, in the way that you spared your Son's life from Herod when he sought to put him to death. And we're also thankful for the way that he exalts the humble, in the way that you lifted up your servant Mary, who believed everything that was said to her and considered herself your maidservant. We're thankful that he fills the hungry with good things and that he has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. For Father, you remembered your covenant to Abraham and to his seed by bringing the promise of that seed which was promised long ago after the fall, when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And that's not only true for your people, people like Mary, Joseph, Zacharias, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and others, Lord, it's true for many, many others of that day who believed. As we think of Simeon, who said that he would be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. But the sad fact, as we know from the Gospels, that not everyone loved him. In fact, he was destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. Many rejected their own Messiah as he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But he came in the flesh to bring life and salvation. He came to bring the light in the darkness, in this dark world of sin and misery, to bring us the hope. Lord, this story that we celebrate today is meaningful. It's not a fairy tale. It may sound like a fairy tale for those in the world. They may celebrate this day in their own way and keep to their own customs. They may raise their eyebrows in scorn when they hear us tell them about what we believe concerning this story of Jesus being born in a manger. But we thank you for the power of this story. We thank you that this is hope for those who are perishing. The message of the cross, it might be foolishness, but for those who are being saved, it is the power of salvation. It is, Lord, we confess today, good news to us and gives us great joy. We pray that you will bless us this day, whether we are spending it with family or whatever we're doing. We pray that you would be our source of strength today in all that we do. Father, we also pray for our nation. We pray for politicians. We pray that they would be led by you as they attempt to lead us. How thankful we are to know that you are in control, even of those who are placed over us, though we do not always understand it. Yet they are being used for pieces, as pieces in your ruling of all history, bringing about your plan to the end of the world. And we pray that those within our own nation would look to you in faith today and find that you are their trust and you alone and not in anyone else. Bring repentance to those who are in authority if they do not know you. And we pray that you will work your salvation within the hearts of many today through your word. We pray where there is trouble and violence within this world, that especially your church under persecution would know of that peace that passes all understanding. We pray for your people from various lands and cultures who are troubled in some way, that they too would find you to be their strength. We pray, give health and strength in those in our own midst who are suffering with sickness or weakness. Give rest to those who are troubled. Give fellowship and love for those who are lonely and alienated. We pray, Lord, for those who are in any kind of captivity, for those who cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And may, Lord, you uphold and bless your servants. We pray for your blessing to be upon our consistory and council. We pray for your blessing upon the churches within our classes and federation, as well as sister federations. And for those, Lord, who are meeting this day to give you the praise for your gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the relevancy of this message that does not grow old from age to age. It still is the same. And we pray that we today would rejoice in our salvation. Lord, bless our offerings as we collect now for the Canadian Food Grains Bank. May you use our gifts for the furtherance of your name. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.